All right, open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And the theme of our conference this year is, "Here am I, send me." And, you know, it's great to support missionaries. We have missionaries that are sent from other churches. But we also have now our own missionary going out from our church. Brother Nathaniel and Amanda are going to Alaska to work together or closely with the Claypools and help in the ministry that is up there. And so that's great as well. And then Benjamin is looking at and starting that path of going to Serbia. So as a church, we're sending people out. That's a great thing. And we want to be a part of that. And then we can also help other churches to send their missionaries out. And that's what we're doing. But here am I, send me. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not." Missions is about people being willing to go and spread the gospel. Sometimes we look at it as home missions. We support a couple of church planting missionaries right now that are planting churches within the lower 48 states that we have, and just, boy, the United States needs more churches. Say, well, there's a lot of them. No, there needs to be more of them. And the United States needs more people going to the churches. And we definitely need to be looking at Resurrection Sunday as Resurrection Sunday, not what President Biden declared it to be yesterday. And for those that don't know that, he declared Easter Sunday to be Transgender Day of Visibility. And that is blasphemous, it's horrible, and he did it on purpose, his cabinet did it on purpose, and that's that. You know, that's what we're working with. Boy, we need to get back to God. We need to see God once again. And so I want to preach a message this morning on preparing to be a missionary. God is looking, saying, "Whom shall I send?" There has to be people available and ready and willing to take the gospel here locally, and then around the world, because God is still asking the question today, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" That question is still being asked. That question is still out there, and God is still calling people, and God is still looking for people that will be willing to go as far as their next door neighbor, as far as their job that they work at, as far as going out knocking on some doors of people that you don't know on a Saturday morning or an evening of the week and saying, "Hey, I just want to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." As far as going to the grocery store and giving out a gospel tract to the person that you're seeing there. As far as going to the gas station. Maybe as far as planting a church within the United States of America. And then as far as Bethel, Alaska, and as far as Madagascar. It doesn't get a whole lot further than Madagascar. That's way, way, way down there, that island off of Africa, way on the east side of Africa. Or maybe China or Brazil or Argentina, down at the tip bottom of the central or this southern or western continent of America and South America and all of that. The whole world needs the gospel. Let's pray and we'll ask for the Lord's help. Father, we ask, God, that you would help us this morning. We are grateful for a resurrected Savior. We're grateful that as we go tell people about Jesus, we are not talking about a dead God. And we're not talking about some man that had made an impact, but he's dead today. We're talking about a living Savior. And Father, I ask that you would take this message this morning. Please work in our hearts. God, help me to preach it with your power and your strength. And Father, I pray that we would be impacted today and throughout this conference. I pray that we would very seriously consider being back this evening to hear about this ministry in Madagascar. God, we aren't going to have a heart for missions if we don't hear about missions. And Lord, we need to see what's going on around the world. In Bethel, Alaska, tomorrow night. And God, I pray that you would help us. Lord, help us to be a missions-minded church, a church that's concerned about getting the gospel out. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In preparing to be a missionary, the very first thing that I want to see is we need to make sure that we are not focused on man. So often we as Christians fail, and the reason that we fail is because we get our focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is absolutely perfect. Jesus Christ is the sinless Son of God. Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He is the living Savior. And no man and no religion and no man-made anything can take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah here had known a great king. That great king's name was Uzziah. Uzziah had been mightily used of God. He was a king of Judah. He interacted with Isaiah quite a bit, and God used Uzziah until Uzziah got proud. And when he got proud, God had to take him down a few notches. And in doing so, Isaiah sees that happen. And, you know, just like anybody, if you've been a Sunday school teacher, or you've been an assistant pastor, or you've worked with somebody in your family, or maybe you've known somebody, you tried to help them along in their Christian life, and they go down and fall and backslide. It hurts, doesn't it? And you feel that, and it's like, what happened? And Isaiah, dealing with Uzziah, sees Uzziah fall, and then this very clearly says, in the year that King Uzziah died. We need to make sure that we are not focused on man. We need to make sure, because look, men will fail. Anybody here not a sinner? We're all sinners. Every single one of us have sinned against God. Every single one of us have shortcomings. We fail, but Jesus never does. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the risen Savior. He'll never fail. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll be okay. If you stay in His Word, because His Word will never fail. God has promised to preserve it. It's there for us. Boy, you ought to be in the Word of God every day. You know, if you'll get with God every day in the Word, it makes it a little bit harder to backslide. You talk to people that have gone away from the Lord, say, are you reading your Bible every day? Almost 100% of the time, it's, no, I haven't been doing that. Well, what happened? You get your eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, you get your eyes off of the Scriptures, and you get your eyes on man, it's not going to go well. And Isaiah needed to get his eyes off of Uzziah, and he needed to get his eyes on the Lord. And in verse 1 that takes place, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. So we need to make sure we're not focused on man. Secondly, we need to make sure that we get a good look at the God of the Bible. You know, there's one living God. There's one true God. There is no other. There is one Savior. There is no other Savior. And all of the false gods and idols all around the world, and all of the false religion around the world that says you can get to God by doing this or by doing this or by participating in this religion, doesn't work that way. There's one God. this God described here, it says he saw him sitting upon a throne. Isaiah got to see a vision, a glimpse of God Almighty in heaven surrounded by the seraphims. These seraphims have six wings. In the presence of God, two of those wings cover their face, shielding them from the glory of God. Now, we're talking about perfect beings. They're created beings, but they're made and designed to be in the presence of God Almighty, and yet they cover their face at the greatness and the glory of God Almighty. This is the God, the only God. This is the one that Isaiah saw, and he saw him high and lifted up. You know that God is high? God is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. And Jesus Christ is his Son. Jesus is God the Son, and Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus came to this earth 100% perfect. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, and then he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he did that in order to be the sacrificial lamb to pay for our sins. Jesus Christ. He is the true God. This God is described here as these angels, these seraphim, standing before him crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Holiness is the attribute of attributes of God Almighty. Holiness is the attribute that governs every other attribute of God. Do you know why God's love is perfect? Because his holiness is perfect. Do you know our love has no capability of being perfect? Because our love is skewed always by a lack of holiness. You know, as people, we can genuinely love, but often our love is we love in order to some way get something for ourselves. There's always that battle of motive that we have because we are corrupt beings. But God's love is absolutely perfect because of his holiness. Leviticus says this about God, Leviticus 11:45, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Do you know that God's hatred is also perfect? So what? God hates? Absolutely. Proverbs 6:16 through 19 says this, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." God says, you know what? I hate those things. Why does God hate those things? God's hatred is perfectly governed by his holiness. Now, we have to be very, very cautious if we start getting into a hate mode, don't we? Because our hatred comes from a corrupted body, a corrupted mind, a sinful mind. So we have to be very careful. You start hating something, you have to be very careful that hatred does not turn into sin. But God's hatred of something is pure and holy and right. And he declares that hatred. And you know what? As a Christian, if you are a Christian today, you ought to hate the things that God hates. See, don't look at it as, oh, I hate this. Look at it and say, what does God hate? I want to hate the very things that God hates. What does God love? I want to love the things that God loves. We need to let God's holiness guide our actions, our thoughts, our emotions. Don't just look at it and say, I can't stand that. Say, can God stand that? Okay, God hates that. I need to hate that. God loves that. I need to love that. And if we will pattern ourselves after Almighty God, and we will get in the book and find out what does God hate, what does God love, and we'll pattern our lives after that, we'll be in pretty good shape. We need to look at these things and get a good look of the God of the Bible. Proverbs 8:13 says this, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So the statement is, look, I should hate pride. I should hate pride in my own life. I should hate pride in the lives of others. Arrogancy. Somebody walking around with their nose up in the air, won't do anything for anybody else. It's all about them. No, they don't have the ability to be a servant. They want to be served. Arrogance. The evil way. How do you know what the evil way is? Brother Schrock made the statement, you know, people say, whoa, we need to get back to morality. He wasn't making that statement. He was saying people made that statement. You know what? Without the God of the Bible, there is no morality. One person described it like this. They say, well, there is no absolute morality. You say, well, you just made an absolute statement. And they say, okay, so is it fine for one person to kill another person? Oh, no, that would be wrong. That would be immoral. How do you know that? Well, I just know that. What do you base that on? Do you know that governments have improperly and illegally and ungodlily put people to death? So is the government the standard of morality? No, it can't be. Do you know that governments have participated in enslaving different peoples from all different people groups all through history? Is government the standard for morality? No. God is the standard for morality. And the reason that we can determine that whether something is right or wrong, we get in the book, in the Word of God. But you know what? Some people, they want a selective morality. Well, I agree with that in the Bible, and so I'll take that, but I disagree with that. If that's what we do, well, what do you say to the person that wants to kill you? Well, wait a minute. I agree with that morality in the Bible. Okay, well, how about the one that says thou shalt not commit adultery? How about the one that says flee fornication? Well, no, see, we don't get to be selective. God's morality, God's law is either right or it's not, and we either take it all or we don't. But you can't get selective on it because someone else will select something different. God is holy. And Isaiah, he gets here in preparing, and his heart being prepared to go and give God's message, he had to first see God. Do you know that God judges? Acts 10:42 says, and he commanded us to preach unto the people and testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge, capital J, that's Jesus Christ, of quick and dead, the alive and dead people. Jesus will judge them all. Those that are alive, that are born again, that have been given eternal life, they will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, praise God, we're not judged for our sin there. But you know what? Every Christian has been judged for their sin. Say, well, what do you mean? Jesus was judged for our sin. Our sin has been judged. Do not get the idea that our sin is not going to be judged. It has been judged. If you are in Christ, then you have eternal life given by Christ, and the reason you can have that is because he is the risen Savior. But he arose after he was judged for our sin. So if you're saved today, your sin has been judged. Jesus did judge that. It was judged in him, on him, as we say, on the cross. Romans 2:16 says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. You know, there's also a judgment of lost people, the great white throne judgment. When lost people, people that have rejected Christ as Savior, People who will not repent of their sin and come to Christ calling out to be saved will stand at the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged according to their works. And if any one of us is ever judged according to our works, the end result is hell and the lake of fire forever. But if we allow Jesus Christ to be judged in our place and we'll accept his judgment for us, we can be saved. Isaiah saw the Lord. When Isaiah saw the Lord, so we need to not be focused on man. We need to get a good look at the God of the Bible. We need to see ourselves for what we are. See, Isaiah, it was real easy for him to see other people's problems. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5 and verse 8 says, "Woe unto them that join house to house and that lay field to field till there be no place." You know, you ever heard the phrase, big city, big sin, little town, little sin, the bigger the city, the bigger the sin? You know, God designed our world to spread. Man's idea has always been to come together. Tower of Babel, man coming together. God says, no, I want you to spread out over the whole of the earth. And when people build so much on top of one another that there's no place left, it ultimately is not a biblical design. It is not a good design. There are people. So at camp time, the church comes from Chicago. Literally, they hardly see grass. Everything they see day in and day out is man-made. They don't see what God has made. You know, when the Bible says the whole earth is full of his glory, except the big cities that are man-made. And I'm not making exception with it. The earth is full of his glory, but the people just don't see it. You know, in the cities, you often can't even see the stars because of all the city lights. And people live their lives without seeing everything that God made. And they get focused on man. Isaiah goes and he condemns this. Verse 11says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning that they may follow strong drink." You know, there are people that get up in the morning with the idea, I want to drink. And Isaiah says, that's wrong. And it is. Verse 18, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as it were with a cart rope." Isaiah said, there's some people, just wherever they go, evil's tied to them. It follows them. And honestly, you look at our society today, evil follows them. They get arrested, they get released. They get arrested, they get released. They get arrested, they get released. They got a criminal record that long. And for some reason, they determine it's good to put them back out on the street so they can do it again. You know, we ought to learn and follow, realize, you know what, if a person is continually tied to evil, they shouldn't be free. Verse 20 through 22, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." There's a whole message right there. The reversal. What is that? It is a complete Bible rejector. "That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." What is a person that's wise in their own eyes? A person that rejects what God said about sin and says, no, that's not a sin. Like somebody comes along and says, you know, a little drinking's okay. That person is wise in their own eyes. They have rejected what God said in his word. "Look not on the wine when it moveth itself and right in the cup. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Don't ever let anybody say that something's right if God said it was wrong. And so Isaiah, he comes in. And boy, he was a preacher. And he correctly and rightfully said, "Woe to this person, woe to this person, woe to this person, woe to this person." But Isaiah needed something to take place in his own heart. And it takes place in Isaiah 6:5. It says this, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the capital K King, the Lord of hosts. See, Isaiah, he could look at himself and say, I'm pretty good. Because he could find some other people that were worse than him. Anybody know somebody that's worse than you? Sure. We all know somebody that's worse than us. Now, there's somebody on this earth that doesn't know anybody that's worse than them, okay? But there's only one of them. We all know someone that's worse than us. And if we compare ourselves to that person, we can feel pretty good about ourselves. Isaiah is going around. You're a drinker. Evil's tied to you. You're just trying to build a city and push God out of it. You call good evil and evil good. And he sees everybody else. But when Isaiah looked at God, all of a sudden Isaiah says this statement, woe is who? Me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Isaiah got convicted about things that were coming out of his mouth. Isaiah got convicted about his own unclean heart, his own unclean mouth. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And Isaiah is convicted. He said, I've said some things I shouldn't be saying. Maybe it's when you lose your temper, you say some things you shouldn't be saying. Maybe it's just habitual. You've heard words said that shouldn't be said by anybody, but you've heard them so much that when something happens, you say that word. And you got unclean lips. Maybe it's your talk with other people and you talk about things that really ought not be talked about. And that's your communication. Maybe your sin isn't so much with your mouth. Maybe it's with your eyes. Maybe it's with your ears. But you know what? When we get a glimpse of God, we get convicted of our own sin. To have revival in our churches today, we need to stop looking at everyone else and feeling good about ourselves because we can find somebody that's worse than us, and we need to start looking at God Almighty, and we need to look and say, what does God hate? What does God love? How do I measure up to that? And that conviction when we see God, now how are you going to see God? Read the book. And the more you read the book, the more you're going to see God. Because the book describes God. What do you know about God? You know, when people describe their God, well, I just think that God just doesn't really care about what we do. Did you get that idea from the Bible? Well, I don't think that God really sees this as that big a deal. How do we know what God says and what he doesn't, and what God thinks and what he doesn't? We cannot take God and make him a figment of our imagination and take God and say, I'm going to create God after my own image. And that happens so much, even today, by so-called Christians. They formulate a God that is after their image. Well, God surely wouldn't condemn this because I don't condemn this. And God is surely okay with this because I'm okay with this. Now, we need to take and get in the Word of God and let God show us who God is. And when that happens and we actually see the King, we will be convicted of our sin. All of a sudden, we're going to be like, what was I saying? God, I'm sorry. What was I wearing? God, I'm sorry. What was I taking? God, I'm sorry. How was I thinking about that person? God, I'm sorry. We have to get and see God. And then in seeing God, we see ourselves for who we are because we are truly wicked people. especially when we see God. Now, we might feel pretty good about ourselves when we see our fellow man. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." We should not be judged. And then we need to see the forgiveness and cleansing of God. Verse 6 and 7, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Isaiah experienced, when he said to God, "Woe is me," he comes to God and he says, "I need forgiveness." Are you saved today? Have you been to God for forgiveness for your sin? Are you saved? Have you asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin? Have you come to God repentant of your sin, realizing, "I need Jesus. I am doomed to hell without Jesus"? Have you been saved? And when Isaiah saw the cleansing of God on his life, then when God made the statement, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Isaiah said, "I'm ready. My eyes aren't on man anymore. I've seen God. I've seen who I really am. And I have experienced God's forgiveness of my sin. I'm ready to go tell other people about Jesus." Now, Isaiah had a different message, but we have the message of Jesus Christ. When we grasp these things, verse 8 and 9 become a reality to us. We're ready to go tell others. And look, there's qualifications for being missionaries just like there are for pastors. Before the church of Antioch sent Paul out, Paul was serving in that church. Somebody that never does anything in their local church says, "I want to be a missionary. I just don't see it." But Isaiah, it became personal to him. You know what the woman at the well did as soon as she realized her sin and that Jesus could forgive her of her sin? She went and told other people. That took place in Samaria. Tie that together with the Sunday school message this morning. Samaria was primed. They were primed and ready for that message when Philip went to preach there. Because there was a woman who had experienced the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, had been telling people already. If you know God's forgiveness, go tell someone else about God's forgiveness. Are you here today? Are you saved? It's Resurrection Sunday. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? It'd be great. Boy, wouldn't Easter Sunday be a great day to get saved? Now, look, tomorrow would be a great day to get saved too. Yesterday would have been a great day to get saved. But if you're not saved yet, Jesus Christ wants to save you today. He says today is the day of salvation. You need to see God. You need to let God convict you of your sin. If you're a sinner on your way to hell, there's only one answer. His name is Jesus. He was judged on the cross for your sin, and he wants you to come to him and ask for forgiveness and receive him as your Savior. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's a great thing to be saved and know it. And if you're saved, God is saying to you, it doesn't have to be worldwide missions, it could be your neighbor, God's saying to you, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" You know, when we see God and we see what God has done for us, we'll be thinking more about other people. We get our eyes off of God, we aren't thinking about other people needing him. Our relationship with God is going to directly affect how conscious we are of the souls of lost people. Because God is not willing that any should perish. we may be selective in who we're willing to talk to. Like you pointed out in Sunday school, the Jews were, oh, we're only going to talk to Jews. We may be selective. God's not selective. He wants everyone to know the gospel. Let's stand to our feet. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to ask a couple questions. First of all, is there anyone here, this is Pastor, if I were to die right now, I want you to think very seriously about this. If I were to die right now, I'm a sinner. I haven't trusted Christ as my Savior. I haven't received Jesus. If I were to die right now, I'd go to hell. Is there anybody here like that today? You just look at it and say, I know if I were to die right now, I'd go to hell. Is there anybody? How many of you can say, there has been a time in my life where I was convicted of my sin and I called out to Jesus Christ to save me of my sin? How many have been saved today? If you haven't been saved, I'd encourage you to get saved today. The piano's going to play. If you want to trust Christ as your Savior, if you want to know more about it, maybe there's questions, come and talk to us at the invitation. Father, I ask that you would work in our hearts now. Help us, Lord, to see you. Help us to be convicted of our sin. Help us to be in your book. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, do you have something to come and pray about today? Is there somebody today that would come down and say, God, I'll go. There's somebody I need to witness to. I'll talk to him today. I'll talk to him this week. Is there somebody that you need to witness to? Is there somebody here today that needs to get saved? I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. Are you saved today? Do you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt? If you are saved, have you seen God this week? Has God dealt with your heart and convicted you of sin recently? If you haven't been convicted recently, you haven't seen God much recently. Today, Jacob, I'm going to let you go get the cannon set up. Brother Schrock, if you want to go and get the candy ready. As soon as we dismiss, if we have five-year-old and under, and parents go with them or in teachers and things, they're going to be right out here in this grass right beside the sidewalk on this side of the building. And then the first grade on up are going to be over in that section on the parsonage lot over there. And we're going to just give away some candy today. But then I hope that you'll come for the international dinner, 4 o'clock today, and then stay through for the service. It starts at 6:30. Experience the countries that are down there. There's been a lot of effort and work put into decorating down there. People are bringing in food relative to all those things. I hope that you'll come and just be a part of that and let God just show you there's a whole world out there that we need to think about. So please come. You guys like to eat back there on the back, right? Do you like to eat? All right. Come at 4, okay? And it's fun. We just have a good time with it. If you want to dress up for one of the countries, dress up, okay? You don't have to, okay? Some will, some won't. But if you want to, but participate in it and participate in the conference this week, okay? And then service tonight at 6:30, Brother Angel from Madagascar, and we'll be praying for that service and just seeing what God has for us in that service. And I'm excited to see what God has done in a place. When he was looking for a place to go, he said, I want to go where Christ has not been named. And at the time when he went, I think there was one other missionary in all of Madagascar. And so just come and hear about that tonight at 6:30. And let's be a part of the whole of the conference, okay? Father, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for a living Savior who died to pay for our sins. God, thank you for conviction of sin. Without it, there would be no salvation because we have to be convicted of sin in order to know that we need a Savior. God, if there's someone here today not saved, I pray that you would convict them of the fact that they're sinners, that Jesus is the only way of righteousness, and if they don't get saved, judgment will come. Father, I pray that you would just take your word always and speak to our hearts. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.